Whistleblower Report, exposing lies, deceptions, and all that has assaulted our way of life. We must take back our freedom and live as God designed in a free America that honors our Constitution and our Creator. Our experts in medicine, ministry, law, military, environment, and education empower us to grow together as a nation. For such a time as this, the Whistleblower Report offers truth and solutions. This is Dr. Lee for America. Welcome to the Whistleblower Report. And today we have a special guest from Birmingham, England, retired policeman Mark Sexton. Many of you may be aware of his work actually filing criminal complaints and charges for the crimes committed under the guise of COVID and a, quote, emergency health problem, end quote. Many crimes have been committed under the guise of COVID in countries around the world, but few law enforcement professionals have stood up to actually take forward criminal complaints. And Mark Sexton is one retired policeman who stood for doing the right thing under the law. And we don't have too many of those here in the United States. I've been very shocked to see the way in which our law enforcement, both police and sheriffs, have actually carried out many of the unlawful orders and invasions of citizen freedom under the COVID declarations, using the excuse of a national health emergency to carry out what in effect has become, in the U.S. at least, a medical martial law. And we are actually seeing sheriffs and sheriff's deputies in Arizona, from Pima County, from Santa Cruz County, Maricopa County, Pinal County, and others, actually actively assisting the unlawful invasion of our country through the southern border, assisting with the invasion of the illegals and violating U.S. immigration law. It's a very alarming situation here in the U.S. to see the way in which law enforcement officers who take an oath to the Constitution, particularly sheriffs, are actually failing their duty to secure the safety for the citizens and assisting in unlawful orders from our government. So here we have the inspiring story of one courageous retired policeman who is doing something about the unlawful actions. And here to introduce him is Dr. Mike Yeadon, with our longstanding relationship in his role as a former Pfizer vice president who has turned whistleblower, calling out the crimes of Big Pharma in the COVID vaccines, toxic by design, and all the programs and efforts that Dr. Yeadon has done to warn the world about the dangers of the mRNA shots. And he'll share with us his story about how he came to meet Mark Sexton and the letter he wrote to the Metropolitan Police in London. So Dr. Yeadon, thank you for introducing us to Mark Sexton and getting him to join us today. And then we'll be hearing also from Andrew Klarich, businessman and journalist from Croatia, and some of his description of what has gone on with the police in Croatia, both pro and con. So Dr. Yeadon, tell us about how you met Mark Sexton and what led you to write your letter to the Metropolitan Police.
Yes, of course. So, Dr. Lee, thank you again. It's always good to work with you and to speak to the people of the world. So, yes, as people, regular listeners will know, I'm a retired former pharmaceutical company executive and biotech entrepreneur. And early in 2020, I was paying a lot of attention to what was being told to us on the television about this alleged virus and the threat it represented. And by the time the occasion of the first so-called lockdown, an absurd and frightening phrase never used before in Britain, we would see it as an American phrase, I think, unless you were working in the prison service. Then I remember saying to my wife, we're in trouble. The only way, I said, that all the countries that we're aware of at the same time are doing something that's unprecedented, harmful, and will be economically utterly destructive as well, is if there's orders being given at the level above the nation. I said it in 2020, and I've said it often on this show, that I cannot see any other way. You can't get scores of countries all doing the same stupid thing for which there was no precedent and no mention in their national pandemic emergency plans, except if there's some arrangement, a level above, whether that was political or through the scientific axis, who knows? But so I knew something serious and horrible was happening. But what I did, of course, was focus on what I was good at. So I was looking at what scientific methods were being used, what statements were being made, what was actually happening around me. And so I went on my work on that side, science and medicine, through 2020, and I gradually became aware of other people. And what stood out was that Mark Sexton, former policeman, was seeing, as I was, that what was going on was not right. And instead of him working it out from science or medicine, he knew there were certain things that were happening that would be criminal offences in the normal world. And rather than just shrugging and moving on, I think I first saw him recording himself, actually recording. I can't remember what the details were, but he was recording. He was seeking to report crime and get, I think, a crime reference number. Essentially, when you've done that, the police, I believe, are obligated to receive evidence against that reference number, and they're meant to, progress their investigation, unless they decide it's, that there isn't a case to answer. So that's how I saw Mark. And then at some event later in the first year, 2020, we actually met. And I think those of you who've been on the campaign trail will know what the experience is when you meet another person you absolutely know is sincere. And that was the instant impression with Mark. So we've worked together on and off over 3 years and more. And that's how I came to hear of him. And then it's just a minor anecdote, which is, I think, slightly amusing. Those of you with a keen ear for regional accents will notice that Mark does come from our fine second city in the Midlands of Britain, Birmingham. And I was born there. I didn't live there very long, but I think Mark was rather pleased to find that another son of the same city was on the case too. So that was really a description of how our paths crossed. And then recently, and I can't remember all the details, things are always too busy, but Mark sent me a message saying, would you be willing just to write an outline of who you are and a couple of paragraphs of what's going on for the purpose of reporting a crime? And I did, but you know me, I'm not capable of being concise. I'm always very detailed. And so that request from Mark turned into probably a rather famous letter now, Dr. Mike Eden's letter to the Metropolitan Police a couple of months ago. And hopefully people have read that, because it is my sincere description. That's what I sincerely believe has happened, which is that the so-called pandemic has been was planned and got up. I think personally it's a mostly a psychological operation. There may be occasions where people have been poisoned, but what it isn't is what they tell you, some international health emergency. Now, that's a lie. What they used, though, was that the opportunity to say there was a health emergency to intervene, ladies and gentlemen, in your lives, of which you'll be completely aware, and for multiple purposes. But ultimately, one of the most ghastly things was being of the pharmaceutical industry and research. I could see that what was hurtling towards us, the so-called vaccines, were, I realized quite early on, were designed to hurt people. They weren't just accidentally injurious. They were designed to hurt people. So that's where I am now, and just an outline of how Mark and I, how our paths crossed.
Well, thanks, Dr. Eden. And actually, we will post your letter to the Metropolitan Police as part of the resources for today's show. I want to welcome Mark Sexton. Thank you for your service to the UK and now your service to the world with the example that you're setting. Very grateful to have you today.
Thank you very much. And good evening to you, Dr. Lee, and to Andreas. And of course, Michael Yeadon, Dr. Mike Yeadon, my fellow Brummie, which is a term we use for people who are from the Midlands in the middle of England. And to anybody else and everybody else out there that's listening, good evening to you all from a very cold and wet Birmingham in the middle of England.
Well, Mark, tell us about what you noticed was going on that led you to file criminal charges for what was happening under the guise of the COVID declarations.
Thank you. And can I just apologize? I do have a slightly annoying cough and I'm trying to keep it at bay by sipping water. So apologies if that does come across. So yes, what actually happened is day one, week one in March of 2020, I knew the whole thing was a scam. I knew this was a lie. And everything that Mike Eden was saying earlier, you just don't lock down the world because of some alleged virus. And I knew that something was drastically wrong here and foul play was afoot. So over the coming months, then I started to gather various bits of information. I started to connect with various people on social media at various meetings, protests where there were small numbers. And actually in the October of 2020, I made my first criminal complaint, which for people who aren't familiar with the British system, if you allege a crime, you go to the police, you allege that crime, and if it's identifiable in law, you're given what's called a crime number, and then evidence is supplied, and if an offender is identified, that person is arrested, and then the case is investigated, handed to what we call the Crown Prosecution Service, and they then decide on the evidence and the information that they've received and the police have collated, including house searches, interviews, seizing phones and computers, bank accounts, any avenue they feel necessary to prove or disprove crimes have been committed. The Crown Prosecution Service then decide from that evidence what charges are laid. And that's basically an outline of what we do here in the UK. I did that first time in October of 2020. I went to the West Midlands Police, which is our local jurisdiction in the Midlands, submitted a lot of evidence at the time. And obviously, as time went on, I submitted the Barrington Declaration, which Mike was part of. I submitted the information that Mike and Wolfgang Vodark, which was a letter to the European Health Commission, identifying that these vaccines will be deadly and they must not be given authorization. So all this was going on. And I had a massive amount of interaction with the police. I then started to become very prominent. I was getting a lot of followings and people interested in what I'm doing. So this carried on until the April of 2021, where the police decided there was no offences identified, despite the evidence. And it was clear from then that they were going to shut this down, no matter what evidence we put to their door. Since then, I've probably done at least another half a dozen criminal complaints. I've had meetings with senior members of parliament, police officers, and virologists, immunologists, doctors, I've made complaints, criminal complaints, against individual members of Parliament, in particular Sir Graham Brady, who's a very high-profile member of Parliament here. He's the head of the 1922 committee, which is he's the chair of all the backbenchers. So not the front bench, the 22 that you see on television all the time, the main members of Parliament. This is the backbenchers, the other 180 or 200, 250 or so. And he's the chair, and a very powerful man with a lot of influence. He was invited to a meeting in September of 2021, which I organised and chaired, and there were 16 world experts there. Mike was invited to that, but unfortunately, due to other issues, he wasn't able to join us on that particular occasion. And in that meeting, there was 10 in the room, 6 on Zoom. There was lawyers, barristers, doctors, virologists, immunologists. There were some very famous people there. Peter McCullough was one of them on the Zoom. And over a 2-hour period, you will also probably be aware of John O'Looney, the funeral director. John was also there in the room, as was Dr. Tess Laurie. These experts verbalised to Sir Graham Brady that these vaccines are deadly, they're causing harm, injury and death on a massive, catastrophic scale, and they must be stopped. As a result of that, on leaving the meeting, Sir Graham Brady said that if we get all the questions together that need answering, he will get them answered in Parliament. I then walked back to Parliament myself with Sir Graham Brady, and on the way back, I made it clear to him. I said, if the general public know that the government know that these vaccines are causing harm, injury and death, there will be riots and there will be outrage on the streets. And his reply to me was, and I quote, "We thought that would have happened by now. Take from that what you will." We then put together, over a 3-day period, two brilliant doctors, one of them Dr. Stephen Frost, and Dr. Kevin Corbett and myself, put together 67 very relevant questions. They were sent to Sir Graham Brady, and they were acknowledged by him and his staff as having received those questions. Since that day in September of 2021, we've never heard from that man again. He totally ignored everything that we sent to him, and he reneged on his promise. So that was a very bitter pill to swallow. However, in July of 2023, Sir Graham Brady did an interview with a journalist called Lee Hall on Twitter. And in that interview, Graham Brady admitted that the British public were taken for a ride, and that eminent scientists and experts were silenced and they had a different point of view, and that the science was never settled. So on hearing that, I was furious, knowing that he was referring to the meeting that he was at in September of 2021. So if he's alleging then in July of 2023 that the British public were taken for a ride, why didn't he stop the vaccines, and why didn't he alert the public to the dangers of the harm, injury and death that these vaccines were causing? So as a result of that, I then made another criminal allegation against him, because he was then part of a 25 signatory all party committee where 25 members of Parliament in February of 2024, they signed a letter stating that the MHRA, the regulators for the vaccines, and in particular June Rain, they deliberately withheld information proving and showing that the vaccines were causing harm. And the fact that he was one of those signatories, knowing that he'd admitted in 2023 we were taken for a ride, and knowing that he refused to answer all the questions he asked us to produce in September of 2021, I believed he'd committed a crime, the crime of misconduct in public office and misfeasance in public office. So I again went to the police in March, on March the 8th, and I reported Sir Graham Brady for committing those two offences, and June Rain and the MHRA of misconduct in public office and corporate manslaughter. And as a result of the recently released contracts between Pfizer and the South African government and the Brazilian government and the European Commission and Albania, I also alleged that the British government had committed offences of corporate manslaughter and gross negligent manslaughter for anyone who administered the vaccines without giving informed consent. And I also reported Pfizer for fraud, because in their contract they stated that They intended the vaccines to prevent COVID, which we know that they didn't do. And also in their contracts, they stated that they did not know the efficacy or the long-term effects of those vaccines. So where on earth did 95% effective come from? So that evidence was submitted in March of 2024 to the Metropolitan Police, and that is now an ongoing investigation. I've also reported this to MI5, which is one of our security services, and the anti-terrorist unit, alleging that the British government have committed offences of terrorism against the British people. This is a pre-planned, premeditated attack with funding, forethought and knowledge. And as true to form, the MI5 and security services, the anti-terrorist unit, have yet to get back to me, where I've recorded all of those conversations and made them known to the British public and on Twitter and Facebook to many people around the world. So that's where we are at the moment.
That is a heroic effort. And these recordings that you've made, that you've published, we would like to have links to those so that our listeners could resource and research them as well and listen to all the work that you've done on this. I find it very much a parallel, what you're describing, that the British government has committed against the British public. It parallels what's been done to the American people by our own Department of Defense, as this was clearly a Department of Defense operation. And what has been presented in the court documents in the Brooke Jackson case against Pfizer is that this was a DoD contract with Pfizer to produce prototypes, not true medical products, but prototypes under the emergency use authorization as a covered countermeasure, which means that we don't need, they did not need to have clinical trials and informed consent. There are many other legal nuances to it, but in short, the bottom line is the public in the United States was lied to as well. What is your, do you have any sense of where this may go in terms of taking it forward to actually bring these charges to court?
In relation to what you've said, we are aware of what's going on in America and in many countries around the world. And as a result of what I've been doing, I have been contacted not just from people in America, but Canada, Australia, New Zealand, many countries around Europe, and even Latvia, the Czech Republic, Brazil, Argentina. I've been contacted by so many people, retired and serving police and military, asking for help because they are experiencing exactly what we're experiencing here in the UK and in the United States. It's clearly a lockstep world agenda. We know that to be true now. There's no deniability there. With regards to holding these people to account, it's quite clear that all the necessary departments, the judiciary, the police, the civil service, they've been captured, the media, they've been captured, they have their minions in place, they're the gatekeepers, to block the likes of me and others who are doing what we're doing, to stop us from getting to court. So what we have to keep doing is pushing and pursuing and putting them in such a awkward position where they've got no choice but to take these complaints seriously. One of the criminal complaints that we made in December 2021, myself with two lawyers, Philip Highland and Lois Bayliss, and a doctor, Dr. Sam White, we made a huge criminal complaint to the Metropolitan Police, and that went viral worldwide. And we submitted tens of thousands of pieces of evidence over a two-month period. The evidence is undeniable, it's irrefutable, and it's vast. And a number of people, they said that they would assist, including Robert Kennedy Jr., what can I do to help? We had all the best of the best across the world who were chipping in, sending their information into the Metropolitan Police. On the 5th of January 2022, I submitted another 1,100 pages of evidence to two detectives at Hammersmith Police Station. And they told me this investigation is so big, it's too big for the Metropolitan Police, and they're going to need help from outside agencies. Let's assume the National Crime Agency, Security Services, etc., etc. Yet 6 weeks later, the Deputy Assistant Chief Commissioner, Jane Connors of the Metropolitan Police, and Detective Superintendent Tor Garnett closed it down, stating they couldn't find any evidence of crime. So this is what we're up against, and this is how things are. Now, I'm constantly pushing, I'm constantly making complaints, I'm constantly requesting updates. That's where I am at the moment. I've asked MI5, I want an update as to why you haven't contacted the witnesses who've been identified. Why haven't you requested the evidence that's been identified? We did then pursue a judicial review in 2023. We got a very good barrister on board. It was funded. And myself and the two lawyers and the doctor who originally made the criminal complaints in 2021 that was closed down unceremoniously in 2022, we applied to the High Court in London under the terms and an application of a judicial review. The judge then looks at the application and decides, did the Metropolitan Police act lawfully by not investigating this crime? Everybody knows they acted unlawfully. So we put that application in, and in November of 2023, the judge said, no, we're not going to find in your favour. The Metropolitan Police were correct in what they did. We're not going to give you a judicial review. We appealed that, and in February of 2024, the appeal courts also said, no, we're not going to overturn the original judge's decision, and we're going to support the Metropolitan Police. They acted correctly. So even going to the High Court, putting in the judicial review applications, the judiciary is still supporting the police in not investigating these crimes. So that's what we're finding is happening. But I've done it again. I've got another crime number. I've gone back to MI5, I've gone back to the security services, I'm putting pressure on them, I've made a complaint, I'm waiting for the Metropolitan Police to come back to me again within the next 48 hours as to why, yet again, with this new crime number issued on March the 8th, which is what I asked Mike to write in for, that letter, his brilliant letter, why haven't you contacted these 15 experts? Why haven't you acknowledged the 14 emails containing all the evidence that I've submitted to you? Why are you not doing your job? Because they have duties and obligations. We're making legitimate claims. These are not allegations. These are actual facts which cannot be rebutted. So I'm now just waiting for them to come back to me again. And I will record those conversations and I will release them as and when. In response to your question, my Twitter feed is XPC, the letter X and PC, but XPC Birmingham. And everything that I've done is documented on my Twitter feed and it's still there, or on my Facebook page, which is Mark Sexton. You'll be able to see who I am and everything that I've done, my recordings, the criminal complaints, the videos and all the updates have all been done chronologically for everybody to follow quite easily, quoting the law, stating the facts with the videos and with all the reference numbers and crime numbers. It's all there for everybody to see.
That's just a massive, massive effort. And there are no words to thank you for the tireless efforts that you've put on this. I have a couple of questions, but I'd like to take a break and then come back to it. I want to comment on what the reaction is from the public, and I'd like to get you to talk further about the coordination of these efforts in most all of the Western countries that have been the victim of exactly this same lockstep approach to total criminal conduct with regard to the COVID shots. And we can talk a little bit more about the International Health Regulatory Agreement from 2005 that set the stage for the lockstep responses of all of our institutions. It goes back to my point about the medical martial law and the weaponization of public health, law enforcement, judiciary, and the medical system all working together under these draconian, lawless, and criminal actions that are costing lives around the world. This is Dr. Lee for America with the Whistleblower Report. We'll be back with the second half after the break. Check out our website at www.truthforhealth.org and look at all the resources we've created for you to improve your health and resilience, as well as protect your freedom and stand against evil. We'll be right back after the break.
We live in a world full of disinformation, lies, and deceit, often from those institutions and individuals that we used to rely on and trust. In the chaos that surrounds us on a daily basis, it's difficult to find a place for truthful information and helpful guidance. Where can we turn for honest answers, critical solutions, and information that empowers us to be the person that God intended? The Truth for Health Foundation. The Truth for Health Foundation works every day to fight for your basic human rights. We have a track record of providing life-saving emergency actions that can improve your health and empower you with the tools to be safe, happy, and free to live your life. With over 100,000 supporters around the world, we are a critical voice of truth in today's world. We invite you to join our community of financial supporters so that we can continue to be your trusted partner for health, for life, for resilience. Join us today by giving now.
Hello, everyone. This is Lieutenant Mark Bashaw, U.S. Army and legal grant recipient of the Truth for Health Foundation. I want to give a huge shout out to the Truth for Health Foundation for helping me and my family over the past year with our legal battles. Recently, I was court-martialed for not participating with these experimental COVID-19 emergency use authorized products. If it wasn't for Truth for Health Foundation and all the support, I would definitely be in a worse spot. But because of all the support, I'm able to continue uniform service, fighting for what's right to protect the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
Welcome back to the second half of the Whistleblower Report. This is Dr. Lee for America with our international team, Dr. Mike Yeadon, Andrea Klarich, and our guest, retired UK policeman Mark Sexton from Birmingham, England, talking about the efforts he has made over the COVID, last 4 years of COVID crimes and tyranny, to hold those responsible accountable for their crimes against humanity. Mark, I wanted to come back to the fact that you have posted all of these recordings. You have posted a chronology of the complaints, the criminal charges that you've made. You've cited the law. What has been the reaction of the public in Britain as they are brought face to face with the enormity of what their government has done to kill people and cause such devastating consequences? You and Dr. Yeadon are in the UK. So what are you seeing on the ground there?
Thank you. What's really interesting is for the first 3 years, especially, I was making a lot of noise within the police stations and closing down vaccine centres, getting arrested for closing vaccine centres. And I was called, with others who've been doing incredible work, we were called names and look at these tinfoil hat wearing anti-vax lunatics. However, in the last, I would say, 6 to 8 months, the tide has definitely turned. There are people who come up to me in the street and say, look, thank you for everything you're doing. Keep going. The public now, they've had two vaccines, that I'm not having a third. Something isn't quite right here. There's a lot more information out there. We were getting banned on Facebook for 30 days here and there. I had my accounts on Twitter taken down, just as I know Mike Mike has as well, and many other prominent people. But for some reason now, over the last sort of 6 to 8 months, my accounts have been allowed to continue, and I've got quite a large following. And so people are starting to wake up. There's a lot of outreach going on. The most important part about this is, on a one-to-one basis with the police, they will come up to me and they will talk to me and they will say, keep going. Well done. Thank you. And I'm like, I'm retired. You're still wearing the uniform. Why are you not doing something about it? We've been told we can't talk about it. We can't investigate it. We can't engage. We can't talk about the government. We can't talk about vaccines. We can't talk about anything to do with COVID. They've been given instructions. So one-to-one, even the other day, I was just sat in my car. A police car turned right. I had my window down. The police car stopped. He wound down his window. He gave me the thumbs up and he said, excuse my language, keep effing going. You're doing a great job. We're all behind you. And I'm like, you're the police being paid by the public to protect the public from harm, injury and death. And you're telling me, a retired policeman, to keep going and keep doing what I'm doing. So when there's a group of them, they literally run away. They won't entertain me at all. But one-to-one, they are very vocal, very supportive, and they know that something is going on. So I'm finding that a little bit strange, but I understand why. You know, it's a uniform, disciplined organisation. They don't want to go against the orders that they're being given. But they need to understand that it's their families, it's their neighbours, it's their friends, it's their colleagues who are dropping down dead and who are very sick. So that's what I'm seeing right now. I'm getting some of my colleagues who wouldn't touch me with a barge pole 6, 8 months ago. They're reaching out to me. They're meeting me for coffee. They're not feeling right. They know it's the vaccines. They're asking me for protocols. So that's sort of happening now. There is an awakening. It's an underground awakening, but it is happening. It's gathering steam. And I think that we are at the tipping point. And I do feel mainstream media now is starting to put information out there, especially recently here in the Daily Telegraph, the Sunday Telegraph. They've announced that Pfizer broke the rules regarding advertising for an unlicensed vaccine. So they've had their wrist slapped, and that's made mainstream media here. So it's coming out drip, drip, drip. And I think we are at a tipping point, and that's going to come very, very soon. That's what I'm seeing. That's what I'm experiencing right now.
Well, that's very interesting. And it goes to the program that we recorded talking about why do people comply with unlawful and draconian measures that they know are wrong, that they know are hurting people. And it goes to the Milgram experiments from the 60s and others, where people follow authority even when they can see it's causing harm to others. And I still find that hard to understand, that the police who praise and support you now are still remaining silent in the face of such evil. I find it hard to understand how they can sleep at night, how they can live with their conscience.
Yeah, I'm finding that very difficult too. I know they all know. They do all know. That it's clear they know. And I can't divulge too much about this, but a recent telephone call that I made to the Metropolitan Police, to the crime desk, asking for an update, which is basically, can you tell me what's happening with this case? This was a call that I made last week. I recorded the call, and it's quite clear that the person I was speaking to, a serving police officer who works within that department, they all know what's going on. They are aware, and they're aware that this is all being suppressed. I haven't released that recording out of respect to that constable. He asked me not to, because it would land him in hot water. But at some point, I'm going to be forced to release that recording, and it will shock the world to know that the police, the Metropolitan Police, and every other police force, they know what's going on, and they are allowing this harm, injury, and death to continue. Because it's government guidelines. It's just so baffling. It's really baffling.
So Mark and Dr. Lee, my observation relatively early on, having done what you would expect someone like me to do, I contacted former colleagues. And Mark reminded me that I think it was in 2022, I accused named individuals of at least being, complicit in criminal behavior. And I've said, if I am wrong, I would expect you to sue me because I'm telling the world that you individually are responsible one way or another for these dangerous products coming out of the company, and you are notionally at least in charge of that particular part of it. Now, two of those people never replied. A third one res abruptly resigned his position. It was Matai Mamman, senior vice president at Johnson & Johnson. And I think what that tells us is a number of things, which is I'm afraid some of my former colleagues, I think, are guilty of crimes. I don't know what their motives. Maybe they swallowed the propaganda, ladies and gentlemen, that the world's overpopulated, or maybe they swallowed the propaganda of climate change. Either way, perhaps becoming persuaded that, as some famous people say, oh, we need to reduce the population. It's like it's the most inhuman thing I've ever heard. But if you became convinced that it was necessary, it's not, by the way, but if you did, I could imagine some people just looking the other way. It's like the expression, dirty job someone's got to do, it comes to mind. But I knew that that was wrong, that the things they've told us about climate are not true. Although it's not my specialty area, I'm a good enough scientist, almost 40 years since I started training, so that I can go and find experts, and I have, and they've confirmed that the same sort of lying and propaganda went on in their field of expertise, and they were censored and dismissed, as happened to me. So, ladies and gentlemen, we've been lied to about climate. We've been lied to about overpopulation, simply not true. And we've been lied to about this alleged public health emergency and these alleged vaccines. And the conclusion I drew, and I've said this to Mark and I've said this to people on this show, is that it seems to me that all the institutions are captured. That doesn't mean every individual in every institution is captured. I don't think that's true. But a lot of them, I think, are in a mixture of either they're frozen by fear, they don't know what to do, or, and this I think is very common, they don't yet understand how enormous this is. So imagine something's going on and there's an edict, in Mark's field of work in the police that says, you're not to do anything about this. The government and the Secret Services, they have this in conjunction with their international colleagues. You're not to do anything, then you probably won't. But you and I know, and the people on this call know, that we have all been warning that effectively what's happening here is, it's not too dramatic to say, it's a coup d'etat of the world. That if we allow these people to continue, it's not restricted to fake public health emergencies and fake and dangerous injections. We see from other walks of life the emergence of digital ID as something that could become mandatory. And you don't need that. You haven't needed that for the last 63 years in my case. And also, we see evidence of an internationally coordinated plan to remove cash and replace it with digital money. And I warn you that I have repeatedly that if we are in a world of virtual existence, digital ID, digital money, and these fake public health emergencies, it's the end of freedom. And I worry also the end of life for many people. So with that, my strategy by early 2021 was tell as many people as you can how bad this is, in the hope that some people in some of the institutions eventually will look to each other and say, we can't just sit still anymore. We have to do something. So that's my strategy. It's not great. You'd obviously take care of yourself. Don't take any more jabs if you've had any. Don't take any if you haven't. Good job. And make sure you've got food in the house, that you've got good connections with community. But keep helping us by speaking about this, all of this wrongdoing, because I do think we will win in the end. That's where I am, and I'm delighted to hear, Mark's account. I knew he was working hard, but it's so good to hear his relentless approach. When you have right on your side, it's what you can do. I don't think I've taken a whole day off in 4 years, and all I'm trying to do is say the truth as I say it, as I see it, and I use the fact that I've not received a penny from anybody as the explanation for my motive. No one can ever suggest my motive is other than to tell the truth as I know it.
Well, you know, Dr. Yeadon, you and I are very much the same in that regard. All of my work on this front is pro bono for the foundation. And I also did not want anyone to say, well, you're being paid to say what you're saying, or you're being paid not to say it. And it has been a nonstop 24/7 effort since we first got hit with COVID in 2020. But I look at it, as I'm sure you and Mark and Andrea do, that humanity's survival is at stake. Our planet, the geoengineering, the climate engineering, the spraying of toxic chemicals into the atmosphere has escalated. We're looking at dying out of herds of animals that we've never seen anything like this, the dying of the bees. And what I don't understand is, how do these people think that they and their families are going to avoid death and destruction ultimately if they're destroying the food supply and destroying the possibility of life on the planet? They're going to go down as well. And Andrea, I know you've been working hard over in Croatia, trying to wake up people running for parliament and trying to wake up citizens and leading resistance there. What are you seeing? Mark is saying that there is more support and there's an underground awakening that's gathering steam. Are we making enough progress with enough people that you see hope that we can stop this assault on humanity and all life, animal, plant, and otherwise?
Well, in Croatia, I have to say there is already 1.5 years that most of the people are aware of what was happening during pandemic. And proof for that, it's nobody wants to take boosters on any kind of this mRNA vaccines already for 1.5 years. And there is no better proof than that. And also we see now in these elections, we have elections in 10 days, we see now that this topic is very important one. People who were on our side and now are running for elections. And we'll see very soon, are they going to have enough power to come in the parliament to guarantee us that we will have a possibility to continue this fight in the courts. Whatever happened to Mark in the United Kingdom happened in Croatia. We also pressed charges a few times. We brought lots of documents, proof and everything. But until this political establishment is in the power, we will not have any chance to continue with this legal work. I think that they are aware where we were involved in the crime. I think they are aware, and that's what, and what is proof is that nobody wants to talk about it. We have now elections. When they're analyzing what happened last 4 years, nobody is mentioning pandemic. Can you imagine? We had a pandemic. We have 3 years of pandemic or 4 years of their running this government. And analyzing these 4 years, nobody mentioning pandemic. And for me, it's obvious proof they know what they've done. And also the major people who were involved, who were in charge for this COVID tyranny, they are also running for parliament. And I see this because they want to protect themselves. You know, they are aware that we will not stop, and maybe they will be much safer in the parliament because they will have legally protection from the prosecution. We'll see. I hope and I believe that we have to break this fence somewhere. I hope it will be in the United Kingdom, maybe even in European Union, because we know now that there is an investigation against Ursula von der Leyen about her SMS messages with the chief of Pfizer, Burla. And I hope they will find something interesting for this for this case. We will see very soon. For sure, if something new happened in Croatia, I'm sure that people will be, well, aware that they will not comply anymore. There is no chance they can mandate anything in Croatia anymore. And that's why I'm proud of my country. People really knows what's happening, what is going on. We just have to be a little more patient to get in the power to change something.
Well, that is very encouraging. I still look around America and see an awful lot of compliance and still see people wearing masks, even outside exercising in southern Arizona. I mean, it just boggles the mind. Dr. Yeadon and Mark, with regard to the UK, you know, the British people have had a reputation of being very stoic. I look at all that went on in World War II and the stoicism of the British people enduring the bombings and all that they went through. Do you think that national character is playing a role preventing people from standing up against the crimes and the tyranny? Are we beginning to break through that with more awareness?
I'll just say from my perspective, I do think that because we have been not at war for a very long time, it's our grandparents' generation, really, that we've probably grown complacent and level of trust in the institutions has been generally high, and I think with reasonably good reason, but it has been breaking down over recent years, even decades. But I do think there's such a long institutional confidence, basically a disbelief that the government and the BBC and the army and so on could really be turn against their own people. I do think that's a significant barrier. So, Mark, I don't know about what you think.
Yeah, I agree. And firstly, Andrea, that was really good to hear that Croatia and your people are not taking the boosters and they are standing firm. I think that's really good and very positive. And thank you for sharing that. And yeah, Mike, I agree with you. You know, we have this old British stiff upper lip, you know, the BBC, government, the Queen, British Telecom. But what I've noticed, and I know everybody's seen this worldwide, is what they've done very cleverly is they constantly create the divide and fear factor. If it's not Ukraine-Russia war, it's now Israel and Palestine. If it's not gender identity, it's Muslims against Christians and Jews. So they're constantly finding new ways to keep the masses occupied with fear and trauma that is pumped out 24/7 on the television. So just when you think you're getting to grips with a particular subject, they change the play again, put different actors in and create a new smoke and mirror campaign. And people, they were talking about gender ideology and they were talking about Muslims, Christians and Jews, but now they're talking about Ukraine and Russia. That's gone away. Now let's talk about King Charles and Kate have got cancer. So they're constantly moving the goalposts to keep people preoccupied with the latest news, the latest fear, the latest world exclusive. And that's what they're doing very, very well. So talking about COVID and talking about the vaccines is so yesterday, get over it, it's happened. And I think that's what they've done very, very well. But because so many people are now pushing back and saying, hold on a minute, I think they're worrying, I think they're panicking. And I think the reason that I see that they're worrying and panicking is because they're constantly trying to come up with new ways to stoke the fire, to create the fear and to create the diversions from what's really going on. And that's how I see what's happening right now in the world.
I think that's very well said. And this is a strategy that actually is a coordinated and orchestrated strategy in the large companies, the global companies that control all the media outlets. And it is designed It's a tactic used throughout history, and particularly modern history with the media, is create division, artificial division, and create the straw man that people can be upset about and deflect from what's really going on. I think that's very, very good summary of what exactly is happening. I also see that more people are getting wise to the strategy. Now, the question is that enough people waking up to how the strategy is being used to sow division and discord and distract us? Discord, division, and distraction are their tools. And more people are waking up to that and are turning to other media sources. However, we also see on the alternative media side a lot of fear-mongering used to generate ratings and sell products. So the strategy is being used actually on both sides. And it makes it hard for people who are just trying to live their lives to sort out the wheat from the chaff and discern the truth and figure out what do they do about it.
I agree. I think that is very, very well said and very important. And Mike and I have had this conversation as well, that there are certain people out there and you think, hold on a minute, I thought you was on our side. There
right.
are some people now who are making money out of this. And like you guys, I haven't taken a penny. I fund myself. I think I'm into this now between 80 and 100,000 pounds. Nobody's put any money into my bank account. My bank account has been depleted by myself. I made this decision to do it to protect my children and their future. So I'm with you guys on that. But regarding, there are people who are infiltrators. They are sent out deliberately to befriend you. And then I've had this happen to me many, many times. And then they stab you in the back. And there are people out there who try to discredit you because it gives them clickbait on social media. That's obviously very, very prevalent right now. So there's so many different factions. There's so many different things going on. And yes, there are people out there who are making a living from what's been happening over the last 4 years. Some of them genuinely, some of them, unfortunately, are very disingenuous and they're starting to show themselves. So it is very difficult. You know, you are literally standing on crocodiles everywhere you turn. But eventually we will get across that lake. And once we do, woe betide anybody who's still trying to push the narrative, because I don't think they've got much room left to push it. They are worried. They are panicking. The elections are coming up here too. It is an election year here. It is an election year in the United States and obviously in Croatia too. And people are actually saying, what's the point? Because these uni parties, they're a waste of time. They're both two wings of the same bird. And people are looking for the alternatives. They are looking for the independence. Like in Croatia, we've got that happening here. People are going to the London mayor, the police crime commissioners, they're all independents and not from the main parties. So all of those things are happening. So despite what they're pushing out on the main media, the alternative media is becoming stronger and stronger. And the discord is massive and it's growing by the day. So again, I believe we're on the tipping point. When that happens, they're going to have to run for the hills. And I hope that day comes very, very soon.
Well, and Mark, I would agree with you. And as we wrap up today, let us all use this time to pray and repent, turn back to God, and pray the scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, get on their knees and pray, I will heal your land. I will hear you from heaven and heal your land. We have, in most of the Western countries, we have turned away from our longstanding Judeo-Christian traditions and become very secular and very focused on the hedonistic pleasures of this life. None of us are going to get out of this life alive. And all of us will stand before our Creator on Judgment Day. And I think for the four of us on this program today, all of us have decided We are not going to stand before our Creator on Judgment Day and say, oops, sorry, God, I decided I'd focus on the fun things in life and not stand up to save lives. So it's my honor and privilege to be with all three of you today. And together, we will stand for the truth. We will continue to stand against evil, and we shall work together to bring more people to the truth and save lives. Thank you for joining us today. My honor to have Mark and your work featured on our program today. Mark, God be with you, and may God bless your continuing efforts to hold accountable those responsible for these COVID crimes. And Dr. Yeadon and Andrea Klarich, I continue to think of you as my stalwart warriors. We all work together on this front. Thank you for joining us today. We'll be back again with another whistleblower report. Share our work and join our crusade. Sign up for our email alerts and our newsletters and be part of the solution against the lies and deception trying to destroy us.